Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What was the Kirtland Safety Society? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at the book, Saints, The Standard of Truth. It was published in 2018 by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's a new way of looking at Mormon history. And as we've said in this series, it does seem to be much more transparent in its telling of Mormon history. And what I mean by that is it tends to show Joseph Smith not only as having his human failures, but in many cases, you might think, doing a lot of stupid things. And today, we're going to discuss what I think is probably one of the dumbest things that Joseph Smith ever did. And that had to do with the starting of what was called the Kirtland Safety Society. Now, this starts in chapter 23, and as I mentioned earlier, we're not necessarily going chapter by chapter, mostly topic by topic. But on page 260, it opens with this line, Jonathan Crosby worked on his new home in Kirtland throughout the fall of 1836. Now, you might ask, well, who is Jonathan Crosby? He's not a major player in Mormon history, but the fact that Jonathan Crosby's name is mentioned seems to prove, at least to us, to me and Eric, that much of what we see in the book Saints is taken from the writings of a Mormon historian by the name of Richard Lyman Bushman, who wrote a book called Rough Stone Rolling. Now, we've cited Rough Stone Rolling in this series, but certainly, Eric, you would agree that it seems like a lot of what we find in Saints is taken from Rough Stone Rolling. Perhaps not word for word and not in as much detail, but certainly it looks like Bushman is a big influence in this new volume.
You're right. It's not word for word, but the keywords are often there. And a guy like Jonathan Crosby talked about on page 331 of Bushman's book, it's fascinating that they start off chapter 23 in the very same section, dealing with the Kirtland Safety Society.
Well, this is how the Kirtland Safety Society is introduced on page 260. It says, while Jonathan, this would be Jonathan Crosby, labored feverishly to make the house livable before the baby came, church leaders announced their plans to start the Kirtland Safety Society, a village bank designed to boost Kirtland's struggling economy and raise money for the church. So that was the motive for starting this. It was to boost Kirtland, this is Kirtland, Ohio, Kirtland's struggling economy and raise money for the church. Now, what's interesting is on page 261, at the bottom of the page, it says, Joseph felt that God approved of their efforts, and he promised that all would be well if the saints heeded the Lord's commandments. So here's a case, Eric, of Joseph Smith using his authority as the prophet, seer, and revelator over this church, basically saying, look, if you follow the Lord's commandments and you invest in this bank, this safety society, things would be well. Now, wouldn't you agree that most people looking to Joseph Smith as a prophet, they would almost be disobedient to God if they didn't do what he told them to do? So you can see how the people are put in this awkward situation. It's not that Smith himself is not investing in this also, because he does. But we find out it becomes a disaster.
It's something that Joseph Smith not only has control of their spiritual welfare, but also of their welfare here on the earth. And so if something like this society that he puts together, the bank that he is going to fail, as we're going to talk about, is going to take away people's money, he's nothing more than selling a Ponzi scheme. I mean, isn't that what we have a problem here in Utah? We have people who take advantage of other people by taking their money and telling them about this wonderful opportunity of an investment, and it turns out that it's the whole thing is a scam. Well, it turns out that this is going to be a complete failure, and people are going to lose a lot of money.
Well, on page 262, it says, winter enveloped Kirtland, and in January 1837, the Kirtland Safety Society opened for business. But yet, you just turn over a few pages, and you find on page 266, by the end of January, however, the Safety Society was facing a crisis. So we don't even have a month go by when all of a sudden now this bank that Joseph Smith begins is starting to have problems. But listen to what it says on page 266. Fearing failure, Joseph and Sidney, this would be Sidney Rigdon, temporarily shut down the Safety Society and traveled to another city to try to partner with an established bank there. But the Safety Society's poor start had shaken the faith of many saints, leading them to question the prophet's spiritual leadership that had spurred their investment.
Bushman talks about the very same thing we're talking about on page 330, and I want to read this because he gives more details. He writes, in a simpler and more isolated society where mutual trust was high, the scheme might have worked. In Kirtland, the bank failed within a month. Business started on January 2nd, 1837. 3 weeks later, the bank was floundering. Skeptical and perhaps mean-spirited customers presented their notes for redemption, and the bank's pitiful supply of liquid capital was exhausted within days. On January 23rd, we're talking 21 days after it started, it says payment stopped. From then on, the value of the notes plummeted, falling to one-eighth of their face value by February. All the investors lost their capital. Joseph, as much as anyone, he had bought more stock than 85% of the investors as treasurer and secretary and signers of the notes. Joseph and Rigdon begged the note holders to keep them, promising the economy would benefit. In June, faced with complete collapse, both resigned. In August, Joseph publicly disavowed the Kirtland notes in the church newspaper. The bank staggered on until November, long since moribund. And so the idea that Joseph had this great idea that God gave him, it certainly doesn't last very long. On page 331 of Rough Stone Rolling, Bushman writes that everyone who accepted Safety Society notes at face value suffered from the collapse. Losses are estimated at $40,000, about the cost of the Kirtland Temple. Mormons who invested in the bank and trusted the notes suffered most.
Now think about that, folks. $40,000. That's a lot of money back in 1837. It's a lot of money today, but you can imagine how much it would have been worth in 1837.
And the way that this was built, they were using land that's not liquid to be able to say, well, it's worth this much. And so when people start to bring their bills back and expecting to get the money that they thought it was worth, and they just don't have enough money to support it, it's like what happened in 1929, people buying on margin. You have nothing to back it up, and so there's a complete collapse, and it created a terrible situation for the early Latter-day Saint Church. This is what Bushman says. He says, the bank episode not only hurt the saints financially, it tried their faith. The notes had their prophet's signature on the face. And so you have Joseph Smith writing a signature on every bill that people would have had, that they were trusting in this prophet to be able to give them good guidance. And then this is an incredible paragraph on page 332 of Rough Stone Rolling. Widespread apostasy resulted. See, people were losing money, and it was causing them to leave the church. The volatility in prices, the pressure to collect debts, the implication of bad faith were too much for some of the sturdiest believers. The stalwarts Parley and Orson Pratt faltered for a few months. David Patton, a leading apostle, raised so many insulting questions that Joseph slapped him in the face and kicked him out of the yard. Joseph's counselor, Frederick G. Williams, was alienated and removed from office. One of the prophet's favorites, his clerk, Warren Parrish, tried to depose him. Heber C. Kimball claimed that by June 1837, 6 months after the bank had started, not 20 men in Kirtland believed Joseph was a prophet.
Now, some Mormons would like to blame Grandison Newell for a lot of the failure, because Grandison Newell was an enemy of Joseph Smith, and he bought up a lot of these notes. And the purpose behind buying up all these notes is he wanted to cash them all at once, knowing that they did not have the capital to back up the notes. But to blame it on Grandison Newell, I think, is quite a stretch. Though that may have had something to do with this problem, it certainly wasn't the downfall. They should have had the capital backing up these notes in the first place. And the fact that they didn't showed that Joseph Smith was certainly not using a lot of wisdom when it came to the starting of this society. But here's what it says on page 268 of Saints. And again, we do commend this book for being much more transparent in showing some of the humanity of Joseph Smith that many Latter-day Saints probably didn't even know was part of their history. It does show that Joseph Smith, though he is giving credit to God for doing this, God certainly wasn't behind it. But this is what it says on page 268.
In this climate, a struggling institution like the Kirtland Safety Society stood little chance. Joseph could not do much to fix the dilemma, yet some found it easier to blame him than the national economic panic. Soon creditors were hounding Joseph and Sidney constantly. One man filed a lawsuit against them over an unpaid debt, and Grandison Newell brought false criminal charges against Joseph, claiming the prophet was conspiring against him. With each passing day, the prophet grew more concerned that he would be arrested or killed.
Now, what does Joseph Smith do in light of these threats, though? The next paragraph talks about Wilford Woodruff, who was engaged to a woman by the name of Phoebe. And it says that Wilford and Phoebe, who were now engaged, they asked Joseph to marry them. But on the day of their wedding, he, Joseph Smith, was nowhere to be found, leaving Frederick Williams to perform the ceremony. In the next paragraph, it says that he and Sidney Rigdon, had fled Kirtland, putting distance between themselves and those who wished to harm them. So Joseph Smith doesn't even hang around during this problem. He decides to leave the situation. Now, he eventually comes back, that's for sure. But it only makes you wonder, Eric, what were the people thinking that were left behind, knowing that their prophet, in their eyes, who caused this problem for them, now abandons them?
Bill, again, I want to read on page 268, Joseph could not do much to fix this dilemma, yet some found it easier to blame him than the national economic panic.
Now, we should mention, there was a national panic going on at this time. There was a big recession that took place in the country, which all the more should tell Joseph Smith, this is not a good time to start something like this. There were already rumblings of this going on. But yet, to say that some found it easier to blame him than the national economic panic? He did a lot of things to cause this problem in Kirtland, so I would think that the members would have every right to blame Joseph Smith for getting them into this dilemma.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.